Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, coming to you from Carson City. Ray Hager and I visit with Assemblyman Paul Anderson. He's the minority floor leader, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mac Bibee and Warren Hardy. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shand.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased and delighted to welcome back to the program the minority floor leader, Assemblyman Paul Anderson. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So things in the Senate didn't start out on such a happy note for Republicans. How about in the Assembly?
Well, I think we had a good day. It was very collegiate. I think the remarks were pretty similar to how we actually try to do business over there. We have great relationships and certainly not in agreement on every issue. And a lot of issues are very controversial, but I think in the end of the day, we can go back and have conversations and negotiations and get some stuff done.
All right. So talking about getting stuff done, what do you see so far from the Democratic agenda that you would be happy to go along with?
Well, I think there are some priorities that we share. I think if you look at the workforce development, the education reforms, I think as we continue to reinvest in categorical funding, those Zoom schools, the Victory schools, and some of the other projects that we worked on last time, the continued funding and expanded funding for those are going to be very important to see those continue to take root and flourish. We're seeing great results from those programs. And now would be a bad time to sort of divert those monies some other direction. I think we're in agreement on that.
And so are you saying that ESAs are not a priority for you?
ESAs are absolutely a top priority for us.
So they are. So beyond what we're already doing with the school systems?
Sure. I think, you know, as you look at Nevada in general, we have a lot of gaps in our education system. I don't think it's fair to the parents that are trying to get the best education for their kids to be stuck in a school that's failing. And that gives, ESAs, education savings accounts, opportunity scholarships, charter schools, other means of educating your children have to be on the table. They have to be part of that tool chest.
Mr. Anderson, the Senate Republicans, to a person, have said no ESA, no budget. And I was wondering if your caucus or yourself has taken a similar stance.
We haven't quite drawn the line as deeply as that, mm-hmm. but we certainly know that ESAs is one of our top priorities, if not the priority for the session, to make sure we get the policy right. Make sure we get the funding mechanism right and abide by the principle or the guidelines set forth from the Supreme Court decision.
Now, with the ESAs, there's been talk about, you know, compromise, and one of the ideas that's come up is a financial means test that if the parents make under certain amount, they're eligible for the ESA, but if they make over that, they wouldn't be eligible. And with that, what do you think would be an equitable and fair line as far as parents' income to be eligible for the ESAs, or would you totally not want any kind of means testing for them?
I think what's fair is to make sure every kid has the same opportunity. And with that, we've got the Education Savings Account, which has a $5,100 scholarship program built into that. You have opportunity scholarships that give anywhere from $7,000 to $8,000 per child. There's a lot of opportunity, and those are opportunity scholarships are means tested specifically for those that need to take those opportunities, and is a very, very similar use. Those are tax deductions a business take to contribute into that scholarship, and they can go and use that money any way they see fit, similar to ESAs,
so,
without the means testing.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but so are you okay with the means test for the ESAs?
No, I think ESAs is a program that should be available to everyone.
Do you think the governor put enough money in the budget for that? The state treasurer was thinking not enough, but in a little war of words between him and Mike Wilden, it seems like there's more than enough money in there so far.
Well, I don't think we know that until they vet the applications, right? I think he mentioned they had 370. Perhaps they're up to several hundred more now, I would hope. We don't know until the end of session how many they've vetted, how many parents have moved on because the program's not been implemented fully. You know, until we know how many have been vetted and approved, it's hard to budget for that. $60 million is quite a chunk of money to start a program. And the idea that maybe we can look at that, get those folks funded that have been vetted and ready to move forward, and then add to that in future bienniums, I think is a good opportunity for all of us.
Is renewable energy going to be one of the big topics this session?
Sure. In fact, I'm assigned to that subcommittee in Commerce and Labor to go through obviously the ballot question that talked about open energy. You've got rooftop that's going to be a hot topic still. You've got electric vehicles even that are going to be of issue this session as well.
And how do you see NV Energy's end game for this? You know, as they move into the future in a whole different landscape, do we have a view from other states of how companies like NV Energy have survived and potentially, hopefully, thrive?
Sure. I think this is a national trend. I don't think it's a new idea for them or us. It's very different from back in the 90s when I think a lot of Western states attempted to deregulate the market. And I think we've learned a lot from that time period. It's a very deep discussion. I certainly wouldn't speak for NV Energy on how they're going to be profitable and successful in an open energy market. I'll let them determine that business strategy. But I think it's possible. I think there's opportunities for everyone. And in the end, consumers and businesses get choice, and that's important.
And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the Minority Floor Leader right after this.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Minority Floor Leader, Assemblyman Paul Anderson.
Mr. Anderson, could you expand on your thoughts about why you would be against a financial means test for recipients of the Education Savings Account?
Well, because I think the goal of Education Savings Account is to put as least amount of restrictions as possible so that every parent can have a similar opportunity for each kid and their unique circumstances. We have other programs that are means tested that limit where those dollars can go. You can even put those two programs together. If you can get an opportunity scholarship and an ESA account, you can take those monies and do with it what you think is appropriate for your children. So I think it's a tool in a tool chest. It's one program on top of many others that allow parents to get the best education for their kids.
Okay. Another thing is that last session, of course, the Republicans in the Assembly were in the majority. Now you're in the minority. Do you think that Republicans can regain the majority in the Assembly for the 2019 session, or is Nevada turning blue and you're relegated to the minority for maybe at least a session or two more?
Well, it took us three decades last time, so we'll see if we can't speed that process up. Listen, the reality is we had about 1,500 votes, and if we'd spread across five different districts and swung the other way, we'd have five more people in the Assembly on the Republican side. We had districts, for example, Jill Dickman's district against Skip Daly was 36 votes.
Right.
Steven Silbercross, 105 votes. Art Hamm against Brittany Miller was, again, in the under 200 votes. Each of those main districts that we lost were under 0.5%. In districts that lean 5, 6, 7, up to 9% Democrats. So we made some significant headway in Democratic districts. Even Derek Armstrong lost by less than 1% in a 9.5-point Democrat district. So I think we have strategies. I think we have the message. I think we have a path to success there. You know, we just ran up against simply a blue tide in this state. It ran red across the United States, but it stopped here at Nevada. And there's just some advantages there that we don't have. I don't have a culinary union that I can pick up in buses and take to the polls. So I have to find different ways to get folks to the polls and vote for us.
And that really is, you know, the situation is that you really don't have a state party that's organized well enough to get the funding, to get the voter turnout. And at a time when across the country you saw a huge Republican turnout, 2 years from now, the odds are that you're going to see, you know, a different thing here where Democrats across the country are going to be coming out to vote again. So you've really got 2 years to get organized.
We do. And you know, with that said, we didn't have that extra support that certainly the Democrats do. You know, we had built out a growth and opportunity project inside of the Assembly that was a path to success when it came to holding or maintaining the majority. That program is successful. We had 225 employees by the end of the election cycle out knocking doors, making phone calls, on top of the volunteers that were doing it for us as well. We had a tremendous force out there. Had we had a party on top of that, working towards our efforts, I think we would have seen more success. But that said, I can't control the top of the ticket. All I can control is the races that we're in. We performed better than the senators that we were nested under when you count raw votes total. So you had some folks that would vote top of the ticket, skip a couple races, and vote for their assemblyman or woman. And I think that's key and points to some of the successes we had. There's no prize for second place in these games, which is, that's the unfortunate reality we deal with. However, I think we've set the stage for success in 2018.
Okay, let's talk about transportation issues. Is Uber, Lyft, and the taxi cab industry going to be huge at this session?
Certainly not as much as they were last session. I'm sure there'll be issues that pop up. You know, I've heard rumblings, but I haven't seen any bills drop yet in regards to those.
The Review Journal suggested in an editorial that the taxi industry needs to get rid of all the regulations.
Well, I think an even playing field would be appropriate. I don't think it's a bad idea that as we open the market, as we make give new disruptive technologies an opportunity to grow, we shouldn't hinder the competition if we can open that market up a little bit more.
Mr. Anderson, last year campus carry was big with your caucus. Is that coming back this year?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of appetite for hearings on that issue. We voted on it three times last time,
right,
where we couldn't
right.
get it through the Republican majority. So I don't see it being a big issue this cycle.
A couple of quick ones here. Raiders Stadium, is it going to be a go or are we done?
We're not done, but whether it's a go or not is a bigger question. I think they're looking for either to rekindle that relationship with the Adelson family, look for other investors. You know, they've obviously filed for the move to Las Vegas, and we hope they're successful. But if they're not, we have a plan B, right? Those monies that begin accruing after we issue the bonds will go into an escrow account. And if we don't get an NFL stadium, then those monies will be available for UNLV to build a collegiate stadium.
Okay, and Faraday Future, that's not looking good.
You know, Faraday has got a great vehicle. They've got thousands of employees down at their L.A. design center. They have some significant technologies that they've developed. They're an up-and-coming company, but they're a startup, so certainly there's risk there. They have plan A, B, and C, and, you know, I'll always let them speak to those plans.
Which plan are they on?
Okay, well, I think they're hoping on plan A still, but they've got the ability to scale down and do this on a different level, and we're hopeful for them. But we do have other opportunities to build out Apex, and that was a big focus for us.
And that's where we have to leave it for now. Please come back, certainly before the end of session.
Thanks for having me.
We look forward to it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mac Bybee returns to the show. He's the president and CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors statewide, and Warren Hardy, principal with Hardy Consulting. Pleasure to have you both back on the program. Lots of connections, obviously, to the building industry. Do you have concerns from what is coming out of the Senate already from the Democrats that you're going to have an uphill battle in this session?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much planned. We've been planning this since early November that we weren't going to have a lot of friends in the majority. But with that said, I think we're cautiously optimistic, to use an overused cliche, that we have an opportunity to actually come to agreement, find some common ground, and hopefully not rehash old battles.
Okay, so for example...
what would surprise a lot of people is that I think we spend more time talking to labor than probably almost any other constituency in Carson City or Clark County or Reno. We spend a lot of time actually in those conversations.
Well, and the irony is that, you know, a lot of the unions who are in the construction industry want building projects.
Right. Yeah, no, we had a nationally significant victory last session with the passage of AB 159, which limited the use of project labor agreements. Obviously, we were concerned about what the agenda might be with regard to that. I think we're encouraged this time that there doesn't seem to be as aggressive an agenda to remove that. There's an effort to allow a project labor agreement on the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, sort of pulling that out to have an exemption. We're in continual talks with labor on that, and I think we can probably come to some resolution. But the reality of it is everything we push for, the Associated Builders and Contractors, is designed to make sure that every contractor and every construction worker in Nevada has an equal opportunity to bid and work on public-funded construction. At the end of the day, people recognize that, and I think it's a pretty tough thing to say, well, we should scale that back. So we're optimistic.
Yeah, or make the argument that one group deserves a priority over another group. I mean, we're talking about less than 15% of the construction workforce here. And for them to get preferential treatment in that manner is something that I think ought to be justified.
And you have a sector of the labor union movement now that, that sort of understands that. Tommy White with the labor's union understands that it's not fair to limit the number of core employees a non-union contractor can use on a project, and that it's not fair that they should pay double benefits. Project labor agreements are designed to disincent non-union contractors to bid. There's a whole sector of the labor unions now that understands that's not fair. So I think we've got some common ground to start from, at least.
Mac, I wanted to change the subject and ask you, you used to be the press secretary for Senator Dean Heller, and recently, as we discussed earlier, there's been a lot of phone calls to Heller's office from people on both sides urging him to vote one way or another on the education secretary nominee, Betsy DeVos. What would that be like? Is that like a you can't win situation for the Heller team?
You know, my first job is actually answering phones for Senator Richard Bryan, so I actually have been on the receiving end of a lot of phone banks. Even, you know, as a senior staffer, I did tours on the phones. And what I think, if you're not in that position, it is incredibly difficult to manage the calls coming in. So to be criticized because you have a high call volume from a constituency that is unfriendly, like Plan, I think some of the criticism was a little off base. And again, at the end of the day, no matter how Heller votes, Plan or those that support Plan are never going to be on his side. So I think that some of the coverage was a little bit skewed, in my opinion.
Coverage of the media or?
Coverage by the media. I think that people gave Plan a little bit too much of the benefit of the doubt on an orchestrated protest.
Right, because the idea was that it wasn't. It was all spontaneous, and in fact, the exact opposite was in play.
Right, and if you looked at like if you looked at Twitter activity from some of the elected officials at the Assembly, in the Senate, some of the political operatives, state Democratic Party, it was all coordinated.
Got a quick one for you here. We've got about a minute left. What do you think is going to be the biggest issue for you at this session?
Well, obviously, we're looking at the construction-related issues because that's the biggest biggest potential for my clients to scale things back. But I think it's important that we focus on energy policy this session. I'm going to be representing an energy client, and particularly with regard to the renewable portfolio standard, we have this aspiration. In fact, it's more than an aspiration. We've moved down the road of wanting to be the center of the universe in terms of electric vehicles and other things, but our policies don't match that. You know, the first thing that companies in that regard look at before they come into Nevada is what our energy portfolio standards are, renewable energy portfolio standard is. Ours isn't sufficient. We need to address that. So it's not a liberal, Democrat, conservative, tree hugger issue. It's an economic development issue. If those policies don't match our aspiration, people aren't even going to look at Nevada. So we really need to start there.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, we expect to see you back here a lot on Nevada Newsmakers through the session.
Thank you.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, the chairman of Assembly Judiciary, Tick Segelblum. We'll see you on the next broadcast.